Good morning. Thank you for worshiping here and providing this space with the gift of your presence. The body is much more full when you are here. And although I'm a guest this morning, I know that the music and the pastoral staff and the tech folks would agree with me when I say that each of you is important in the act of bringing glory to God this morning. So thank you. And thank you for welcoming me here to this service in the hopes of gleaning from God a message of hope and transformation. Will you pray with me? God of glory and love, we come before you and praise you this beautiful day. You have made this day for us, and we give you thanks. Allow us to be present with you, to allow us to unload our burdens and find rest in your care. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and find favor in you. O Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the description of the steeple notes, it said that I was a deacon, and that is correct. And some of you may know deacons. You've had at least one appointed here in the past. But in case not, deacons are clergy in the United Methodist Church, and they're different than pastors. They're called to connect the world and the church and to be bridge builders. They're called to word, service, compassion, and justice. And I live out my call as a deacon as the director of Motown Mission. Motown Mission is a service destination for groups seeking to serve others in the city of Detroit. And it was started by this very church. So give yourselves a round of applause if you didn't know that. And so I know for some, Motown has a special place in your heart. And you have continued to support this ministry by sending us volunteers and summer staffers and board members and financial gifts and also your prayers. And we are thankful. Motown also has a special place in my heart. When I was the director of student ministries, I led 7 trips to Motown Mission for middle schoolers to serve alongside residents of the city of Detroit. I found that for our students, it provided space for them to use their imaginations to explore how God was calling them and where God was leading them. And Motown still does this, but I'm just involved in a very different way. The work our folks do is economic recovery. And economic recovery can come in a variety of different ways. It doesn't happen simply through homeless ministries or feeding ministries. We try to make connections with many different types of service agencies and ministries, providing diverse opportunities for youth and adults to use their hands and feet to serve Jesus while sharing the gift of love with strangers. This is the first step in living a life that reflects the light of Christ, whether you come to the city to serve or you say hello to your next-door neighbor. Stepping out in love when it's easier to stay in routine is how we begin to change our small worlds in order to transform the larger world. We hear stories all the time of despair and hopelessness in the city of Detroit. But those are so foreign to me. I'm constantly surrounded by young people with joyful spirits, ready to serve and excited to use their gifts, and I meet neighbors who have their own stories of triumph and community. And while there's definitely despair and hopelessness in the city, there is just as much hope and abundance. We just don't hear those stories as loudly. Today's scripture passage comes to us from John 6. It is a familiar story to some, but I hope today you will hear it anew. And so hear these words, John 6, 1 through 14. After Jesus went across the Galilee Sea, that is, the Tiberias Sea, a large crowd followed him because they had seen the miraculous signs he had done among the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat there with his disciples. It was nearly time for Passover, the Jewish festival. Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him. He asked Philip, "Where will we buy food for all of these people?" Jesus said this to test him, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "More than a half year's salary worth of food wouldn't be enough for each person to have even a little bit." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "A youth here has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that for a crowd like this?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass there. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to those who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, each getting as much as they wanted. When they had plenty to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves that had been left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw what he had done, it was a miraculous sign, and they said, "This is truly the prophet who is coming into the world." And so when hearing it again, I found 3 things from this passage that I feel like can tell us something for today. And the first is that Jesus calls us to reflect. The first 4 verses of this passage is an introduction to this miracle story. It tells us where Jesus and the disciples are, what is happening around them, what time of year it is, and why they are there. And so hear these verses one more time, listening for something new that God is revealing to you. "After this, Jesus went across the Galilee Sea," that is the Tiberias Sea. "A large crowd followed him because they had seen the miraculous signs he had done among the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat there with his disciples. It was nearly time for Passover, the Jewish festival." It starts with, "After this, Jesus went across the sea." So for me, I'm like, well, what is this, right? In John chapter 5, the chapter that precedes this, Jesus learns of his cousin, John's, death. Jesus was retreating in grief. He was taking time to reflect and retreat. Jesus teaches us that even when life gets busy, we must take time to reflect on how it is with our soul. And yes, it is necessary to take time for yourself after seasons of difficulty. Maybe for you, this is job loss, or a season of being overworked, or a time when you assumed that all was well in life, but learned otherwise. Whatever it is, Jesus has felt the heaviness of a worn soul, and God knows how that feels to work through some tough stuff. And he promises that we will find rest, that God will provide rest, and teaches us through scripture like this that it is okay to take a moment to regroup. When I started working at Motown Mission, it was May 23rd, and I had graduated from seminary on May 21st. After working day and night to finish projects and papers necessary for my master's degree, all while continuing to work full-time for the local church, I stayed on at that church until June 15th to make sure that they were set for the summer. When I had started, I had 11 days until the Motown Mission summer staff was moving in and looked to me for direction and leadership. I had no idea what I was doing, right? Like, you have 11 days until staff show up and expect you to know all the things. I was worn, and I went into this new job tired and needing rest. I jumped from one moving train to the next, right? But God sustained and took confidence in me, and I took confidence and solace in the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before departing to them in Matthew 28. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. So the first piece of wisdom from today's scripture is to reflect and care for yourself. And the second important piece, what the scripture teaches us, is actually fairly simple. You just got to show up and say yes. Sometimes all that is required of you is to be there. Hear these words. Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him. He asked Philip, "Where will we buy food to feed these people?" Jesus said this to test him, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "More than a half year's salary worth of food wouldn't be enough for each person to have even a little bit." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said, "A youth here has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is this for a crowd like that?" Jesus noticed the crowds were forming. People were following him, seeking him out to heal or help them. He knew the hour of the day, right? It was dinner hour. It was probably like rush hour. I always think that that's funny that we allow people to be the most hungry and then put them on freeways. And so it was similar to that. The crowds were forming. And he asked how they were to provide food for a crowd. And Philip says, and I'm taking liberties here, "We don't have enough, Jesus. We don't have enough volunteers. We don't have enough funds. We don't have enough people in worship. We don't have enough singers. We don't have enough items for our rummage sale." Oops. And I say that because Newberg's rummage sale is starting today. We don't have enough. What do you feel like you don't have enough of? But Jesus does not allow the disciples to send the crowds away or get food for themselves. He instead encourages them to be resourceful and think outside the box by asking the question he already knew the answer to. I mean, isn't this kind of just good leadership, right? I've never appreciated a micromanager, but rather a leader that allows me to use my gifts and talents to create change and do so in a creative way. That leadership, the leadership Jesus exemplifies, is a leader who says, "What do we have? What do you have? What can we do?" And then allows them to wrestle with the problem until a solution emerges. So the disciples look around and point out a youth who probably had the equivalent of a Lunchable sent by his parents to be in the presence of the Lord. 2 small fish and a loaf of barley bread. This is the only miracle of Jesus that is actually cited in all 4 Gospels. And this detail, the detail of the young boy offering what he has, is only in the book of John. And I just find this so awesome. A young person worked up the courage to attend a Jesus rally and took along his lunch. He showed up. He said, "Sure." And Jesus was able to do amazing things with his yes. When we feel like we don't have enough, God shows up. When we think we're not enough, or we act from a place of fear rather than abundance, when we think with despair, it cuts off the possibility that God can show up and do amazing things. A quick story of when I was on a trip with Motown Mission and resources were low. As a youth leader, it was a Wednesday morning, and we showed up to an urban garden to do the work we had not finished from the day before. This was to be our last day working at this particular project before we moved on to a different project in the city on Thursday and Friday. And if you've ever been on a week-long mission trip, you know Wednesday is kind of the toughest day. It's like hump day, right? Especially when it's hot. Early August, late July, and especially when your population is middle schoolers. And not even any offense, because actually middle schoolers are my favorite group to work with, but Wednesday is real tough. And so we set out to do the work that was before us, moving a huge dirt pile filled with dead soil, rocks, trash, and weeds, and we were to move it into a hole in a lot just next to where we were working. The organization was going to use the cleared space to teach preschoolers about planting food by using green beans. This was not a job that we were going to finish, right? This was a huge dirt pile of hopelessness. And myself and our leaders were tasked with motivating 15 middle schoolers to get the job done, right? While most likely seeing an unfinished pile at the end of the day. We expected it to be a hard, tiring day. Now, also working in the same area that day were city employees who were cleaning up brush from other abandoned lots. The previous day, a large volunteer group came in and cleared lots and left brush in piles at the curb for city workers to come and clear. It was about 11 a.m., and the sun was just starting to shine over the trees that had kept us in shade. And while we were sweaty and nearing the lunch hour, our students remained in good spirits, while the leaders were already so done with this idea of moving a dirt pile. We had watched the large city vehicles go past, dump trucks and garbage trucks and tractors and other earth-moving equipment. Each time, our absent-minded young folks would stop what they were doing and watch these large trucks go by. Eventually, they started waving at them and shouting hello, good morning, and other signs of joy. One particular worker driving a front loader took interest in our goofy kids and would wave back or shout hello as he made his rounds. During this 11 a.m. break, we sat around drinking Gatorade, and he drove past again. Two youth, Haley and Brendan, of course one of them was the pastor's kid, got up and ran out to the street to greet him. Cool truck, they said. But we couldn't really hear the rest of the conversation over the bustling neighborhood. But when they ran back to us, their new friend driving away, they exclaimed, "He's gonna come back when he's done and drop off that load and help us move our dirt pile." We're like, what? How did you finagle someone else to do your work, right? That's crazy. And so I immediately sent a few leaders and students to the local donut shop to get him a pack of treats. And a few of our youth looked into the cooler to see if we had an extra sandwich to offer him. And another youth ran to the van to grab her drawing tablet to make him a thank you card. Others began to clean up the shovels and picks and hose and wheelbarrows so that when he came back, he didn't have to wait. And energy skyrocketed. And our youth leaders were amazed at the ways each youth began to pitch in and get the task done alongside our newfound friend. And I gave y'all a picture, if you can bring that up. Possibly. Yeah, so that's our youth. Those are our youth and the front loader, our new friend, who like graciously took a picture with us too. Like, what a nice dude, just to say hello. And we were basically done with the work by 1 p.m. And we were amazed and thankful and filled with the hope of God's love in the world. It was quite an experience. And our students reflected on how each of them were able to use their gifts to make it happen. This is the blessing of mission work. This is the blessing of saying yes and showing up. That man's yes continued to be talked about in the youth program. And it's a favorite story of our Motown mission team. Two youth made a connection and showed up and reached out. A construction worker showed up and said yes. A young boy showed up to see Jesus and said yes. Resources were low, but God's grace still abounds. We as humans react out of fear and anxiety, but God's love is bigger than our focus on having enough. So where is God calling you to say yes? And where is God calling you to show up? So one, reflect and care for yourself. Two, show up and say yes. And lastly, sometimes you gotta work a crowd. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass there." They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he distributed it to those who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, each getting as much as they wanted. When they had plenty to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather up all the leftover pieces so that nothing will be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves that had been left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw that he had done a miraculous sign, they said, "Truly, this is the prophet who is coming into the world." Jesus worked a crowd and provided nourishment. He gave thanks to God, and he distributed it. In the other Gospels, the disciples go out and give the food. But here, Jesus gives people food, showing us again that community, the crowd, is where discipleship and growth happens. That's why it's important that each of you is here today. Matthew 18 tells us, "Where one or two are gathered in my name, there I am with you." Often we go through the motions in worship, but God is here. We are together. And Jesus is working this crowd. All we have to do is recognize and take. Each of us works the crowd in different ways, and that's okay. Some are quiet, on the fringe, making sure others are welcomed in. Some are in the midst of hurting people, praying with them. Some are in the band, some are front and center, but each of us is equal in this crowd. And Jesus feeds us all the same. And this is the cycle of the gospel. Jesus continues this pattern all the way until his death. And as we witnessed in Holy Week, and as we witness in Easter, death does not win. And scarcity and fear of having enough does not win. Every time I'm afraid that the ends won't meet, I'm reminded that God provides, not always in the same way I think God will provide, but that doesn't keep Jesus from asking me to be a creative leader. Reflect, show up, and use your gifts. And God will do amazing things in and through you by just being you. Amen. Will you pray with me as the band comes up? Holy God, we thank you for this beautiful day made for us. Allow us to come from this place refreshed and renewed with a new commission from you to be present to our neighbors, to be present to one another, to have conversations with meaning, and to seek you in all that we do. Remind us first to give you praise and love, and secondly, to love our neighbor just the same. We thank you for this commandment and all of the commandments which allow us to live in community with you and one another. Thank you for this place. Thank you for each person gathered here in your name. Thank you for the gift of music. Thank you for the gift of praise. And as we go from this place, Lord, remind us of your presence. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.